from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by news from across Indonesia. Today in history, My Indonesia, news in brief. We continue Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and to conclude our program for today, we present you Music Corner. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo opens Ulama Trilateral Meeting of Afghanistan, Indonesia, and Pakistan. Indonesia and Brazil boost cooperation in agriculture. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo officially opened Ulama Trilateral Meeting of Afghanistan, Indonesia, and Pakistan to talk about stability and peace in Afghanistan at Bogor Palace in West Java on Friday. A total of 45 ulamas from three countries attended a series of close meetings. In his opening remarks, President Joko Widodo asserted that Indonesia does encourage peace and stability in Afghanistan. He hoped that this meeting can provide concrete results for peace process in Afghanistan.
Melalui suara ulama, khususnya para ulama dari Afghanistan, Pakistan, dan Indonesia.
Through Lama's voices, especially from Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Indonesia, the spirit of ukhuwah for peace in Afghanistan can be strengthened. Unavoidably, this is a tough task as well as a noble task for ulamas. Thus, I recalled and let him plan this meeting slowly to achieve Allah's blessings. Through sowing the seeds and of peace and avoiding violence among his servants, with sincere intentions, the trilateral meeting of Lamas, inshallah, will be a concrete contribution to peace process in Afghanistan. As reported earlier, the idea of this trilateral meeting of Lamas is the follow-up of President Joko Widodo and Vice President Yusuf Kala's state visit early this year. The visits were followed by ministerial talks. In the opening of this meeting, President Joko Widodo was accompanied by Vice President Yusuf Kala and Chairman of Indonesian Ulama Council, Ma'ruf Amin. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and her Brazilian counterpart Minister Aloysio Nunes Pereira in a bilateral meeting held in Bogor, West Java on Friday said that they will boost cooperation between Indonesia and Brazil in agriculture sector, especially palm oil. She also said that she will make serious efforts to facilitate export and import goods entry from Indonesia to Brazil and vice versa.
Kita membahas juga bidang-bidang kerjasama lain yang dapat ditingkatkan.
We also discuss other areas of our cooperation which can be improved, the agriculture. We also discuss the issue of palm oil and we also discuss an effort to make our goods easily enter from Indonesia to Brazil and from Brazil to Indonesia. To make Indonesian business people easily expand their businesses and invest in Brazil, Minister Retno Marsudi suggested Brazil to translate the trade fund into English, because Brazil only provides trade fund in Portuguese. This makes Indonesian business people difficult to cooperate with Brazilian business people. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PT Pelind will complete the construction of Java 2 gas steam power plant PLTGU immediately. The power plant is located inside the complex of PT Indonesia Power in Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta. It is planned to start its commercial operation or commercial operation date COD on June 10th and to support the supply of electrical energy in Java and Bali, especially Jakarta. This was stated by Director of West Java Regional Business of PTP Land, Haryanto WS, to the media in Jakarta more recently.
Jadi kita harapkan 21 tanggal.
So it's said on June 10th, the first unit will start the operation or COD, and then the second unit will start COD on July 20th. Those two power plants will enter the system and support the electrical system of Jakarta and Java Bali. Haryanto further said that the power plant was built by Mitsubishi Corporation and PT Wasamitra Engineering. It will produce 800 megawatt energy. The energy comes from gas turbine 2 times 300 megawatt and steam turbine 1 times 200 megawatt. The development of this power plant is under supervision of PT PLN West Java Development Unit and implemented by PLN Implementing Unit West Java Power Plant Project 2. The project development contract has been effective since November 23, 2016 with a value of 6.1 trillion rupiah. This project is a manifestation of a 35,000 megawatt electricity infrastructure deployment program with a new transmission line with 46,000 kilometers of circuits. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The weakening of rupiah against the US dollar, which has penetrated the level of 14,000 rupiah per US dollar, must be carefully monitored by the Government of Indonesia and Bank Indonesia (BI). The pressure is predicted to continue and will have a negative impact on the economic sector in Indonesia. Therefore, Bank Indonesia has set up some second-line defense options for rupiah. One of the options that can be used is the Chiang Mai Initiative Multilateralization, CMIM, which is a multilateral currency exchange arrangement between ASEAN plus three members. This was stated by Head of Center for Economics and Public Policy Study of Gadjah Mada University, Yogyakarta, Tony Prasetyantono, in a recent discussion held by Prepit Radio in Jakarta.
BI itu masih punya second line of defense, yaitu kita punya hak tarik oleh tiga negara.
BI still has a second line defense. We have right to withdraw by three countries of East Asia, namely China plus Hong Kong, Japan and South Korea. But we have a question. There are countries with large foreign exchange reserves, and Chiang Mai Initiative has been established since 2000. But the initiative has never been activated, because for 18 years, the ASEAN countries are fine, including in 2008 crisis. However, Tony Prasetyantono also remarked that the injection advance through the CMIM seem to Indonesia will not necessarily have a positive impact on the Indonesian economy. He is worried that the market response will get worse after the funds totaling $240 billion are injected into Indonesia, because probably the market will assume that the funds are only entrusted to Indonesia in a short time. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani said in Jakarta on Friday that Indonesian budget deficit fell to 55.1 trillion rupiah as of April 2018 from 72.2 trillion rupiah a year earlier. The 2018 state budget is far stronger than that of last year. This was disclosed by Mr. Sri Mulyani at a meeting with a number of financial institutions and analysts at the Taxation Directorate General Headquarters. The government claimed that it had greater fiscal room to protect the national economy from external upheavals. She also remarked that the realization of the 2018 state budget was very positive until April. The budget deficit stood at 55.1 trillion rupiah, well below the budget deficit at the same period last year at 72.2 trillion rupiah. In fact, the primary balance recorded a surplus of 12.2 trillion rupiah, well above last year's figure of 3.7 trillion rupiah. Indonesia has collected tax receipts for around 16.9 trillion rupiah. The tax receipt would grow 11.2% if income from tax amnesty includes. Deputy Governor of Jakarta, Sandiaga Uno, received an invitation to speak in a forum of C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group, or C40. The meeting will be held in the United States on June 27, 2018. This was stated at Jakarta City Hall on Friday. C40 members are 90 of the world delta cities located near rivers or oceans. He said that the forum was established by former mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, in a bid to anticipate climate change.
Deputy Governor Sandiaga also said that Jakarta is not a very active member of the C40. He wants the capital to play a major role in the international activities. A planned parade is said to take place on Sunday at around National Monument or Monas in central Jakarta to welcome the much-anticipated 2018 Asian Games. The parade, organized by the Indonesian Asian Games Organizing Committee in Ascot, is aimed at promoting the quadrennial sporting tournament to the public. In Ascot, a second deputy on Games Administration, Francis Wanandi, said in Jakarta on Friday that 4,000 people have registered to join the parade. The parade is going to start at the Monas area, from which the mob will move to Sarina and make U-turn to the horse statue on Jalan Merdeka Barat before ending in front of the Communication and Informative Ministry building. A string of performances are scheduled to cheer up the parade, such as Constant Community of Chamber, which regularly takes part at Chamber Passion Carnival. Minister Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi directly invites her Brazilian counterpart, Minister Alucio Nunes Pereira, to attend our ASEAN Conference 2018 to take place in Bali on October 29th until 30th. Indonesia and Brazil have agreed to intensify their BALTRA meeting. This was stated by Mr. Retno Marsudi in a BALTRA meeting with Minister Alucio Nunes Pereira at Novotel Hotel in Bogor, West Java on Friday.
And I would like also to invite you, Foreign Minister, to our ocean conference, because Indonesia will host the fifth, our ocean conference in Bali on the 29th and 30th of October. And we agreed also to intensify our meeting wherever we are in the same international conference, then we try to arrange a bilateral.
Minister Pereira has welcomed the invitation of Minister Retno Marsudi to attend our ocean conference 2018 in Bali. Minister Pereira added that Indonesia and Brazil have similarities. Therefore, he also hoped to exchange experiences to enhance the proximity of these two countries. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with her Brazilian counterpart, Minister Alucio Nunes Pereira, at Novotel Hotel in Bogor, West Java on Friday. In his BALTRA meeting, both ministers agreed to strengthen BALTRA relations by intensifying the implementation of strategic partnership that has been established since 2008. This was disclosed by Minister Retno Marsudi to media after the meeting.
Di dalam pertemuan tadi, kita membahas mengenai masalah bagaimana kita bisa mengintensifkan.
In that meeting, we discussed the problem about intensifying the implementation of strategic partnership, because as a derivative of strategic partnership, we already have a plan of action. Therefore, we agreed to intensify our engagement so we can implement the strategic partnership better. Minister Retno Marsudi added that a trade trend between Indonesia and Brazil had decreased in 2017. Therefore, she hopes that by intensifying the implementation of the strategic partnership, the trade between Indonesia and Brazil can grow again. The last item, on Friday, May 11, 2018, Minister Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and her Brazilian counterpart, Minister Alucio Nunes Pereira, signed three documents of agreement between the two countries, namely the approval of visa exemption for diplomatic and official passport, exchange of notes for visa exemption for regular passport holders, and technical cooperation agreements. This was stated directly by Mr. Retno after BALTRA meeting between the two countries at Novotel Hotel in Bogor, West Java more recently.
Pada hari ini tadi kita baru saja menyaksikan tiga penandatanganan, yaitu persetujuan mengenai pembebasan visa.
Today we just witnessed three signings of approval on visa exemption for diplomatic and official passport, and exchange of notes for visa exemptions for regular passport holders, and technical cooperation agreements. Minister Retno Marsudi further said that the three instruments of approval could strengthen bilateral relations between Indonesia and Brazil, and there would be no barrier to visit each other among the people, official and others. So hopefully, with an intensive visit, the relationship between the two countries becomes more advanced. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start for an event on May 12, 1941, when Konrad Schütz presented to the public S3, the first computer which could be programmed in Berlin. Konrad Schütz is a civil engineer and computer pioneer. His greatest achievement was the first functional Turing computer, which was controlled by ZEC3 program. The program was stored in a paper tape. He received Wernher von Siemens Ring in 1964 for the discovery. Because of the machine and its predecessor, Schütz was considered as founder of the computer. Schütz was also recorded as founder of S2 computation machine. In 1942, he also produced C4, which became the first commercial computer in the world. But due to the World War II, many Schütz works were not recorded in the United States of America and the United Kingdom. The next event was in 1994 when Azerbaijan and Armenia agreed to hold ceasefire and ended war between both countries. The countries which were independent from Soviet Union had been involved war since 1992 in regard to the dispute of Karabakh region. When Soviet Union dismissed, Karabakh people actually declared themselves as an independent region. But officially, the region with 4,400 kilometers wide entered as part of Azerbaijan. As Karabakh people wanted to release from Azerbaijan, in 1992, Armenian forces attacked boundary line of Azerbaijan with alibi to help Karabakh people who wanted to be independent. Because of the attack, around 2%, as you say, 20% of Azerbaijan region fell into Armenia. Then in 1994, an organization namely MINSK, which was delegated by United Nations, succeeded to be mediator of the dispute. Finally, Azerbaijan and Armenia agreed to stop the ceasefire. And the last event is that in 2008, Sichuan earthquake occurred. The 2008 Sichuan earthquake, also known as the first great Sichuan earthquake or Wenchuan earthquake, occurred on May 12, 2008. Over 69,000 people lost their lives in the quake. 374,176 were reported injured, with 18,222 listed as a mission as of July 2008. The earthquake fell about 4.8 million people homeless, though the number could be as high as 11 million. Approximately 15 million people lived in the affected area. It was the deadliest earthquake to hit China since 1976 Tangshan earthquake, which killed at least 240,000 people, and the strongest in the country since 1950 Chahyu earthquake, which registered at 8.5 on Richter scale. It is the 21st deadliest earthquake of all time. On November 6, 2008, the central government of China announced that it would spend $146.5 billion over the next 3 years to rebuild areas ravaged by the earthquake as part of China's economic stimulus program. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI VOI with a daily segment, My Indonesia. Today it's on Indonesia, Singapore, ready to build digital hub for Industry 4.0. The governments of Indonesia and Singapore are ready to collaborate in building an integrated digital community or digital hub area at the Asian level. The strategic effort is to face the era of Industrial Revolution 4.0. This is the result of a meeting between Indonesian Minister of Industry, Airlangga Hartarto, and Singapore Communication and Information Minister, S. Iswaran, in Singapore, Wednesday, May 9th. Minister Airlangga believes this digital economic cooperation will bring economic growth of both Indonesia and Singapore to increasingly jump forward. In addition, it will bring the potential for increased investment and competence of human resources as well as the transfer of technology and innovation. These positive impacts are in the line with the 10 national priority steps in making Indonesia 4.0. For example, building a national digital infrastructure, improving the quality of human resources, and building innovative ecosystems. Minister Airlangga explained that in preparation for the implementation of Industry 4.0, the Indonesian government has launched Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap in April. Based on the roadmap, there are 5 manufacturing sectors that will be focused on the early stages, namely the food and beverage industry, textiles and apparel, automotive, electronics, and chemicals. In an effort to support the development of digital economy in Indonesia, the Ministry of Industry has facilitated it through the construction of incubation buildings for startup businesses. They are, among others, Bandung Techno Business Center in Semarang, Makassar Technopark, and Mobile Design Center in Batam. For Indonesia-Singapore cooperation, the potential of an ideal digital hub location is in Batam because it is the nearest and strategic. The government and the private sector have encouraged the development of Nongsa Digital Park in Batam. The infrastructures are to be the basis of innovation and creativity for Indonesians who want to develop software, web, application, film and animation, and other digital programs. The two ministers also agreed that the cooperation will be focused on empowering Indonesian talent through innovation, especially for SMEs, so as to enhance their competitiveness and efficiency in developing their business model. Attending the meeting were two major Singapore institutions that facilitate the investment, including in the field of the digital economy, namely the Economic Development Board or EDB and Enterprise Singapore or ESG. They will facilitate the realization of cooperation that has been discussed by Minister Hartarto and Minister Iswaran. The Minister of Industry was accompanied by the Director General of International Industrial Defense and Development, I Gusti Putu Suryawirawan, and Head of the Agency for Industrial Research and Development, Timur Antara Ngakan, who will follow up on the cooperation that have been discussed. Minister Hartarto also had the opportunity to meet Singaporean entrepreneurs who were interested in investing in logistics and became the keynote speaker on the transformation to Industry 4.0. The meeting was attended by about 200 alumni of National University Singapore or NUS Society. That was my Indonesia for today.
Here is a brief read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo officially opened Ulama Trilateral Meeting of Afghanistan, Indonesia and Pakistan to talk about stability and peace in Afghanistan at Bogor Palace in West Java on Friday. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi and her Brazilian counterpart Minister Alucia Nunes Pereira in a bilateral meeting held in Bogor, West Java on Friday said that they will boost cooperation between Indonesia and Brazil in agriculture sector, especially palm oil. Indonesian state-owned electricity company PTPLN will complete the construction of Java 2 Gas Steam Power Plant, PLTGU, immediately. The power plant is located inside the complex of PT Indonesian Power in Tanjung Priok, North Jakarta. The weakening of rupiah against the US dollar, which has penetrated the level of 14,000 rupiah per US dollar, must be carefully monitored by the Government of Indonesia and Bank Indonesia, BI. The pressure is predicted to continue and will have a negative impact on the economy sector in Indonesia. Minister of Foreign Press Retno Marsudi directly invites her Brazilian counterpart, Minister Lucia Nunes Pereira, to attend our Ocean Conference 2018 to take place in Bali on October 29th until 30th. Indonesia and Brazil have agreed to intensify their Baltra meeting. This was stated by Mr. Retno Marsudi in a Baltra meeting with Minister Lucia Nunes Pereira at Novotel Hotel in Bogor, West Java on Friday. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a Baltra meeting with her Brazilian counterpart Minister Lucia Nunes Pereira at Novotel Hotel in Bogor, West Java on Friday. In this Baltra meeting, both ministers agreed to strengthen Baltra relations by intensifying the implementation of strategic partnership that has been established since 2008. On Friday, Minister of Foreign Affairs and Retno Marsudi and her Brazilian counterpart Minister Lucia Nunes Pereira signed three documents of agreement between the two countries, namely approval of visa exemption for diplomatic and official passport, exchange of notes for visa exemption for regular passport holders, and technical cooperation agreements. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz, you can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Sayang Heulang Beach in Garut, West Java. Stay tuned. Garut is well known not only with its Dodol Garut, Garut Orange, but also beautiful beach, Sayang Heulang Beach. Sayang Heulang Beach is located at Manca Gahar Village, Pamengpuk District, Garut Regency, West Java Province. The beach has coastal line as long as 2 km and directly it shares the same water with Indian Ocean. As a result, the beach creates big waves when the tide is high, so it is too dangerous to swim. The distance from Garut City to Sayang Heulang Beach is around 87 km and from Pamengpuk City is only around 4 km. Sayang Heulang Beach becomes one of the beaches which is well known in Garut Regency and tourist destination of both domestic and foreign visitors. Listener, Sayang Heulang Beach, which is directly stretching to Indian Ocean, presents beautiful scenery and still preserves its nature. The beach has smooth brownish-white sand and greenish-blue water, and it is also surrounded by trees as long as the beach. So, it makes the tourism object very comfortable and suitable to relax. Here, the visitors can take pictures with the beach as the background. If the seawater is in low tide, the visitors can play on the coastline while catching ornament fish among the coral reefs. The specialty of Sayang Heulang Beach has stable waves and two types, namely beach with coral reef and beach without coral reef. Thus, no wonder if the beach is always flocked by tourists. After being satisfied and hungry to enjoy beautiful scenery and play water, you can enjoy various fresh seafoods and young coconut ice, which are sold at the stalls around the beach. Time is the most waited by tourists at Sayang Heulang Beach when sunrise and sunset. Therefore, there are many lodgings around the beach with tariff around 150,000 rupiah until 300,000 rupiah per night depending on the size and facility of the room. If you like to adventure and want to feel near with the nature, the beach also provides camping ground. While camping, you can also see fishermen who are catching fish at the sea. If you love fishing, you can also utilize fishing place which is provided at the beach. If you want to take a rest at Sayang Heulang Beach, we suggest you to come on Monday until Friday, because on weekends or holidays, the beach is visited by many tourists. The access to Sayang Heulang Beach is also very easy. Moreover, if you depart from Garut City, you can use public transportation from Garut Terminal to Garut Pamengpuk. The route is Garut Cikajang, Pantai Sayang Heulang Terminal. Arriving at Pamengpuk, the distance to Sayang Heulang Beach is around 4 km. If you arrive at Sayang Heulang Beach, you will see the gateway and eagle statue. Because Sayang Heulang in Sundanese language means eagle's nest, the entrance ticket to the beach costs 5,000 rupiah. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Sayang Heulang Beach. I'm Putri Savitri Ardela. Thank you for listening. Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener now, let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany. Miscellany on Indonesia. A segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. Listener, increasing tourist visits to Indonesia seem to be a challenge for the Indonesian government. Various activities are organized by both central and local governments to attract visitors, like what has been done by the people of Padang Panjang City, West Sumatra. Padang Panjang City in West Sumatra has not been known as tourist destination compared to its neighbors such as Bukit Tinggi, Harau Valley, and Batu Sangkar. Padang Panjang is better known as a city of education, but Padang Panjang is now beginning to work on its tourism potential, among others by polishing Kubu Gadang and Sigando area to become a tourist village. According to Yuliza Zen, the village tour manager, Kubu Gadang has been developed as a tourist village for the last 4 years. For example, it has prepared 17 houses that function as homestay, and each house can accommodate up to 8 people. Rates per house vary around 600 up to 900,000 rupiah a day. In addition to the homestay, Kubu Gadang Tourist Village also offers a stretch of rice fields and panoramic views of three mountains that surround Padang Panjang. They are Mount Singgalang, Mount Tandikek, and Mount Marapi. The towering Tui Hill in the heart of the city complements the landscape of Kubu Gadang and Sigando. Not only relies on the natural scenery, the management also prepares interesting tour packages for those staying at Kubu Gadang Tourist Village. They are divided into three categories: culinary, attraction, and education.
In the culinary package, for example, tourists can try eating baradal, that is eating with a typical Minangkabau party style. Another option is eating bajamba or eating together from a big tray. In the attraction package, there are silek lanyah, randai, and other traditional dances. Silek lanyah is a martial art performed in muddy rice fields at night under the moonlight. While the educational package offers traditional cooking lesson called marandang, plowing rice fields, and others. That was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic Kubu Gadang Tourism Village. I'm Putri Savitri Adela. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Putri, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will introduce you tiga komposer. To initiate our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to a song entitled Salah Benar. Enjoy the song. you've just listened to the first song entitled Salah Benar, sung by Tiga Komposer. The song entitled Salah Benar was the first single of Tiga Komposer, which was released in 2012. Its lyric song is combination of some popular titles of the songs in Indonesia, such as Dia Dia Dia, which was popularized by Afgan, or Datang dan Kembali by Vidi Aldiano. But the song entitled Salah Benar is not a result of plagiarism. It's collaboration of the song's lyric, which was composed by personnel of Tiga Komposer. Tengku Syafiq, Bembi Nur, and Mario Kacang have been well known as hits maker because the three personnel are able to make songs which are successfully sung by Indonesian singers. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Cinta Tak Pernah Salah. Enjoy the song.
Sempurna untuk dijalani.
Listener, you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in the segment Music Corner, which is discussing about Tiga Komposer. The reason of the three personnel of Tiga Komposer to establish a band is quite interesting. According to Tengku Syafiq, the three personnel as songwriters are also behind the scene and close by popularity of the singers. So, Tiga Komposer wants people to know that they have role to make singers to be famous. Genre which is played by Tiga Komposer is pop romantic, such as various hit songs which are created by the three personnel. Musical genre, arrangement, and vocal ability make Tiga Komposer to have fans community throughout Indonesia. That was a glance about Tiga Komposer. To conclude our segment, Music Corner for today, let's listen to the following two songs entitled Bangun Cinta and Masih Ada. I'm Putri Safitri Adela. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Kata pujangga, cinta itu luka yang tertunda. Walau awalnya selalu indah, bila bukan jodohnya, siap-siap tuk terluka. Lebih baik bangun cinta daripada jatuh cinta. Jatuh itu sakit, bangun itu semangat. Lebih baik bangun cinta daripada jatuh cinta. Meski tak mudah, namun cinta jadi punya tujuan. Kata pujangga, bangun cinta itu tak semudah. Tak secepat hati jatuh cinta. Namun bila jodohnya, kita pasti bahagia. Lebih baik bangun cinta daripada jatuh cinta. Jatuh itu sakit, bangun itu semangat. Lebih baik bangun cinta daripada jatuh cinta. Meski tak mudah, namun cinta jadi punya tujuan. Sampai kapan bermain cinta?
Bermain cinta.
Ku ingin bahagia,
bahagia
tetap selamanya untukku.
wajarnya, oh kasihku, ku ingin jumpa dengan kamu. Bagaimana caranya? Haruskah ku teteskan air mata di pipi? Haruskah ku curahkan segala isi di hati? Oh, haruskah kau ku peluk dan tak ku lepas lagi? Agar tiada pernah ada kata berpisah. Du-du-du-du-du-du. Bagaimana caranya?
Bagaimana caranya?
Haruskah ku teteskan air mata di pipi? Haruskah ku curahkan segala isi di hati? Oh, haruskah kau ku peluk dan tak ku lepas lagi? Agar tiada
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Ternyata kamu benar, benar, setia kepadaku.
Ternyata aku salah sangka kepadamu. Ku terlalu cemburu. Ternyata kamu benar setia kepadaku. Terima kasih cinta.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.